Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Caroline Rex Road, along with you here today on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? We've never had a stronger team than we do today.
Yeah, well, you know, look, if you're going to have Thanksgiving week off, like in my day, when we were walking uphill in the snow barefoot both ways.
Minus 22 degree temperatures.
To school. We got Thursday and Friday of Thanksgiving week off. That's what we got. We got Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
These kids get the whole week off. I tried to give Caroline some extra homework to do or some extra chores. I said, well, then I guess you're going to have to come to the show. If not, so here she is. She's here to help. She's here to help whatever we need. Caroline's here.
Caroline, we welcome you to the show today. It's a pleasure to have you here. Going to be a good time. Michelle, how's everything going?
Doing good. The family's in town for Thanksgiving. Uh-oh. I was telling Caroline that they all were passed out when I left this morning. So
I bet they were.
My 16-year-old sisters could never wake up this early.
Nope.
You got the whole crew with you. Sorry. No kidding.
Well, especially after the 15-hour travel day, whatever they had yesterday. It's a long one.
They made the drive from New York yesterday?
Made
it was 15?
It was about 16 hours. So when we started the show yesterday, they were texting me that they were on the road. And they got in around 9:30.
That's a long day.
Yeah. They were a little loopy, I mean, which you can't blame them. Long day, but yes.
That's an impressive. To do 16 and 1?
Oh, yeah.
That's strong. That's strong.
We don't play around over here.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Today is a big day here on the show. We've got a lot to get to today. We're going to get into the Nashville SC playoff match last night here in just a few minutes. We'll have Clark Lee at 7 o'clock, John Glennon at 8, Matt Duchesne, Preds forward, joining us at 9 o'clock, Adam Vingan at 9:30. But at 8:30, John Oates will be joining us here on the show from the legendary duo Hall and Oates here on the program. This might be the greatest day of Joe Rexroad's life, and 8:30, the culmination of what we've been working for really for the last year and a half.
And really, I just want him to tell me he also hates Creed, you know? it's really why.
Scott Stapp, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah. And also Bleak-182. I want to go through all the bands I hate and see if John Oates agrees with me. No, it's pretty awesome to have him. He's got a show. He's got a show tonight.
Yep.
Correct? He's got a show tonight in Franklin.
Yep, coming up at Franklin Theater.
And it's actually kind of fitting that Caroline is here because Caroline's first concert was at Bridgestone. It was just a daddy-daughter date. It was Tears for Fears and Hall & Oates.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Man, did we jam out. I will not tell John Oates that she fell asleep with a few songs ago in the Hall & Oates part of the show and that we left a little bit early. I wasn't thrilled about that.
Those are details.
Because their encores were probably amazing.
Yes.
I'm not mad at you.
That's right.
But, yeah, first concert. That'll always be your first concert. So that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. John Oates joining us at 8:30 today here on the show. We got The Choice is Yours and The Best and Worst Thing in Sports. So we got a lot to get to today. But we begin today with Nashville SC, a 3-1 win last night against Orlando City. They advance in the Eastern Conference playoffs, in the MLS Cup playoffs. What a game last night. It was pretty early. They were down 1-0 in the game, had to fight back. It's not the first time we've seen that happen this year with Nashville SC. And then Hani Mukhtar did what Hani Mukhtar does, and that is take over games and be an absolute force offensively. Two goals, one coming in the 21st minute, the second one in the second half in the 74th minute, and then Yonder Cadiz adds one at the end to close things out for Nashville SC 3-1 last night against Orlando. Impressive performance. Things got a little bit hairy in the second half. I thought after the first goal for Orlando City, Nashville SC in the first half was pretty much totally dominant and controlled the play. For about a 15-17 minute stretch in the second half, Orlando City was putting on some pretty good pressure. Nashville SC held on, and then Hani Mukhtar and CJ Sapong got free on the other side, and Orlando City just running around watching them, and Hani Mukhtar did what he does.
Yeah, that the game winner by Mukhtar, that was
pretty incredible.
That was sweet. That was sweet. That was big time. I mean, I didn't even, you know, it's one of those things where you don't see it coming, and then he does what he did, and you're like, oh, wow. That was pretty special. He's pretty special. How come no one ever picks Yonder Cadiz, by the way? He's fallen off in the pick to click, but Boom.
Good goal last night.
Got a big one.
Got
in the clincher.
Yep, stoppage time. He got loose. Nice box out to go get the ball. And when he put that in, game over, bud.
Game over. On to Philly.
Yeah.
So, another run maybe on hand here for Nashville SC.
I never saw the attendance figures last night. It looked like an awesome crowd on TV. I was watching the game on FS1 last night. The crowd was awesome. You can hear them the whole game. And here they are, 2-0 all time in home playoff matches for Nashville SC. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they don't lose here. So, and I'm looking that up for you right now. But no, it's the weather, and it's not like it was bad weather, but it was cold. It's chilly, like high 30s, low 40s range. Did not deter. So the official attendance, 26,043. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Pretty good crowd last night for Nashville SC. We'll see if they can keep it going. Philadelphia, obviously, we talked about this yesterday. They snuck up and got the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. So now you're going to have to go on the road and see if you can translate this to more success on the road. But, you know, Walker Zimmerman, I thought was awesome last night. Made some key plays. Gary Smith was talking about him after the game and just how many balls he seems to get the top of his head on, just out jumping people out there, and how much of a difference that can make. He got in some shooting lanes last night. The set pieces for Nashville SC as they're defending continue to be a little bit of an issue. That's how Orlando gets their first goal. And they had another corner kick last night where they actually laid it up pretty well. And, you know, the ball kind of squirted out there into the middle of the box. And, you know, Nashville SC got some bodies in there to clog up the shooting lane, and it just went a little bit wide for Orlando City. But great defense last night. Even when they got in tight, wasn't a ton of chances that Joe Willis had to just be outstanding on last night.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just thought early on, and then they did have that stretch in the, you know, a little bit later where they were creating pressure. But after their goal, there was a, I don't know if it was an uptick in intensity or just execution, but it was clear by the end there who the better team was. You know, I mean, I think that's, there was nothing fluky about this, and it's not easy. I mean, I feel like in soccer and hockey, you know, chasing a game can be really tough on a team. You know, I mean, it's just, it's hard to sometimes, I think, keep your composure and not, you know, maybe get a little bit too excited, or, you know, just a little bit too frantic, but they hung in there and just, they were just better.
So congrats to Nashville SC. We'll see if they can keep it going. Coming up on Sunday is when they will take on the Philadelphia Union. So everyone hoping for a deep run for Nashville SC. That is still alive, and we'll see if they can get it done coming up on Sunday against Philadelphia as well. Ron on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Good morning, guys. Hey, Joe, did you ever check out that Daryl Hall in the House? I don't know what that is.
Dang it. You know, I didn't. And thanks for sending that, and I meant to, and I didn't. But doesn't mean I couldn't during the show.
What is Daryl Hall in the House?
It was something he sent me. I think it was on YouTube.
Okay.
It was like, I think it was something he played. I want to say, I don't know. People sent me a lot of Daryl Hall and John Oates stuff. Either it was like a concert he played, or it was like just like a show he was on that was really entertaining. But I'll see if I can catch up on that, Ron. Thank you.
Speaking of entertaining, what a day it was yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. 13 roster moves yesterday by the Titans, including Adrian Peterson being waived. They got a lot of stuff going on yesterday. Chris Jackson, Marcus Johnson to the injured reserve list. Golden Tate being signed to the practice squad by the Titans. It was quite the active day yesterday for the Tennessee Titans on a Tuesday that, you know, look, we normally see some transactions on a Tuesday, but yesterday was pretty intense, the amount of moves made yesterday.
They're going for 100. They're going for 100 guys playing for the Tennessee Titans, and I think they got a shot at it. Golden Tate, why didn't we think of Golden Tate? We were just talking the other day. Who could be? I mean, come on. Golden Tate. Nashville's own, interesting signing. And not, I mean, hey, in considering the situation, I don't hate it. You know, it's another one of those things. Obviously, didn't go great for him with the Giants, and then he was just another one of those guys who sort of pre-retirement. You know, he's 33. It's not like he's ancient, as we have seen with Adrian Peterson. You know, I mean, the minute that they signed Dontrell Hilliard to the active roster, that was sort of the, oh, what does this mean? Does this mean someone's out?
Yep.
And it's not that Peterson was terrible, but I wonder if that's it for Adrian Peterson.
I think it's probably. Does he retire as a Titan?
He'll go into Canton as a Titan.
As a Titan.
Yeah. There's 58 yards.
Adrian Peterson, Randy Moss, Andre Johnson, all heading in there as a Titan.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's that was, I mean, really, of all the things, and there were so many moves, but the three, obviously, that stand out, Peterson out, Golden Tate in,
yep.
And how quickly can Golden Tate get ready? I mean, I think, again, right now, Sunday at New England, right now the top three is Westbrook, Akina, Rodgers, and Des Fitzpatrick. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think Golden Tate breaking into that crew would be help for the Titans. But then, also, by the way, you know, with Marcus Johnson going on IR for a second time, he's done. And,
yep.
Man, I mean, those are the three big headlines of all those moves. I mean, Marcus Johnson being done 2 weeks after he finally had his breakout game. And this is – it's kind of been – that story for him in his career. He can play. He's good enough to play in this league and make a difference in this league. Hard to stay healthy, and it's just too bad for him. That's the, you know, we'll see on guys coming back. Obviously, Derrick Henry. We'll see on Julio Jones and Bud Dupree and all that stuff. But that's now, to me, the most impactful loss of the season, even more than, you know, like Caleb Farley. Because you just didn't know what he was going to do. Marcus Johnson was going to help a lot.
He was going to help, and as you said, now the second time Marcus Johnson has been on IR, he will be out for the rest of the season. And now, Chris Jackson going to miss at least three games back there in the secondary as well. So the IR list starting to get pretty crowded for this Titans team. And, you know, no Chris Jackson. I know he played extremely well against the Rams, and it's not gone quite as well for Chris Jackson since then, but still a guy that you would like to have some depth back there. You know, Chris Jackson could play, and not having him for 3 weeks, going to be tested again on the depth part of this if you're the Titans secondary. So, look, I know New England does not have the world's most prolific offensive passing attack, but it would be nice to have Chris Jackson out there.
Well, and Vrabel, who, again, doesn't specify a whole bunch, said this week, basically Chris Jackson was playing on one foot.
Yeah.
Which kind of tells you something. Let's go real quick through the Titans IR. What a team this would be. Cam Batson, Kari Blasingame, who is back at practice.
Yep.
You got Dane Cruikshank, Bud Dupree, Darrington Evans, Caleb Farley, Sam Ficken, Derrick Henry, Chris Jackson, Marcus Johnson, Julio Jones, Rayson McMath. Then you throw in a little Rashad Weaver, too.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good football team.
Those guys can help.
That team could go like 9-8.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Pretty incredible, no question about it. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What is the running back situation going to look like coming up on Sunday against New England? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
So Caroline picked this. What the heck is that song?
It's Fancy by Walker Hayes.
Okay.
Yeah, you haven't heard the song
knows
like
the
commercial
words
yet?
Too. She knows the words. What's that?
You hadn't heard the song yet?
I don't know.
It's all the rage right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
This is a new song.
Yeah, it's basically talking about being fancy by going on a date night to Applebee's. If Applebee's is just all over the place nowadays.
Nice. Okay. So are you saying that you'd like Applebee's for Thanksgiving, Caroline? We can do that. I can arrange that. No, I'm good.
No, I think it'll be okay.
Quite a jam. Thanks.
Quite a jam.
Let's do better rest of the show.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, Golden Tate Really, they seem desperate. T.O. would have been a much better pickup. The dude has speed and still is in great shape. So got a texture that says, eh, not a big fan of Golden Tate. Let's bring in T.O. What do you think of that?
T.O., okay. Yeah, let's see. T.O.'s prime was like 18 years ago. I mean, T.O., yeah, he's around my age, isn't he? I mean,
he's 47.
Yeah, so, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it's worth a look. But when you say they seem desperate, I mean, are you kidding me? They are
desperate.
They are the definition of desperate right now. So, by the way, of all these moves, someone brought up yesterday. I mean, I got to get it in front of me here because it's just an incredible list. But someone brought up yesterday Chris Rowland. And unfortunately for Chris Rowland, he is not part of the plans. He was released from the practice squad along with defensive lineman Nascott. Let's go through these real quick. So they signed Dontrell Hilliard, a defensive back, Buster Skrine. Not familiar.
I'm not 100% sure we're even saying that right, but yes.
Yeah, could be Screen. Could be Skia Reen. I don't know. outside linebacker John Simon, very familiar face. Adrian Peterson is waived. Chris Jackson and Marcus Johnson on IR, as we've talked about. Kari Blossom game back to practice. That's some good news. And then I mentioned the two guys they released. Now, they signed not just Golden Tate, running back Rodney Smith. Rodney Smith was a Panthers free agent in 2020. Pretty good player at Minnesota. So, you know, so he's kind of like the depth guy now. They signed Austin Mack also. So Austin Mack is kind of in with Chris Rowland out. He was he's a Ohio State guy, pretty good player at Ohio State. Undrafted free agent with the Giants. And then Kevin Strong, a defensive lineman. And that's another thing to keep in mind. They didn't put Tier Tart on IR.
Yeah.
Tier Tart was carted off.
Yeah.
So there's another area where they're hurting. Strong was, well, he has been lionized. UTSA kid with the Lions as a rookie in 19. So,
oh boy.
I mean, it's just like you got the potential here. You do. You got the potential to get to 100 guys this year. Congratulations. Yeah.
Sure, a goal that every coach is shooting for, 100 different players in a season. Cody from the Borough texting in, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Fun fact for y'all, when my Vols score 53 on Vandy Saturday, Heupel will set a school record for points in a season. So the trash talk beginning already in the mighty Tennessee-Vanderbilt rivalry. We'll have Clark Lee on at 7 o'clock. Talk more about that.
Well, let's read that one to Clark Lee when we get him
on the
phone.
Yeah, see
what he
thinks
about that.
See what
he says, yeah. Yes. There we go. Let's get it going.
Ron texting in, it's hard to tell what the running back situation is going to be like on Sunday when we can't keep one running back in long enough to see. It takes a back a lot of reps to get into a groove. The Titans need to stick to one. It's coming from Ron on the text line.
In general, I agree. I think, I could be wrong, but I think Deontay Foreman is about to get a chance to be more of that person. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and it's going to be kind of the same thing with Hilliard and Freeman that it was with Freeman and Peterson. But I think there's absolutely validity to that point. You could look at Derrick Henry, although we've gone up and down this whole talking point of Derrick Henry and what happened early in his career and all that stuff. You could make the case at times in his career he was running well, but he ended up getting like 9-10 carries in a game that maybe more carries helps him. So I think you're right. I think Freeman should get more. It's interesting with Hilliard. I'm assuming Hilliard is now in that situation, and then McNichols is the third down back when he comes back.
I would assume so.
Hilliard, obviously, I mean, he could do the third down back stuff, and he did it pretty well. I mean, you think about he hasn't been here long, and he's another guy, by the way. You got to follow the clues from Vrabel. He doesn't give a lot of stuff, but like when he talks about Westbrook Akina, listen to him because it turns out to be something. And he absolutely praised Dontrell Hilliard very early. I mean, it's pretty obvious some guys come into the building and impress with the extra work and with picking things up and with just the professionalism of trying to maximize, you know, their opportunity. Hilliard's one of those guys who's done that. And also, I think he looks like he's got some ability. I thought he looked pretty good Sunday. So, does that mean he's in a two running back? He just takes Peterson's spot? Or is he the backup running back and Foreman is going to get a chance to be quote-unquote the guy?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And you're also taking on the best scoring defense in the NFL coming up on Sunday, too. So
there's that.
We know that running the ball, it's going to be difficult against this front that you're going up against. So I also wonder, like, you know, it's pretty obvious. If Derrick Henry's struggling early in the game, it doesn't take a whole lot of convincing to be patient with Derrick Henry and see if that can break out. Like, if Deontay Foreman is not getting any room in the first half of the game, how patient are they with whatever rotation they decide to do? That's going to be, I think, an interesting question that I'm not even sure maybe they know the answer to yet based on all the movement at running back that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep – yeah, right. If you're them, there's no way there's anything that's written down in pen. Like, Foreman's getting 20 carries, you know. And you have to see how it goes. But I think their best chance of having any kind of success – first of all, I don't see how they win this game if they don't run the ball at all. You have to run the ball. You have to keep the ball, possess the ball. You have to play physical football back at them. And I don't see how you do it if you don't run the ball. And I think your best chance is if you get one guy, you know, getting a feel for it. And you can have a good enough plan to move the chains and keep giving yourself opportunities to run the ball. So if you told me right now, you know, Deontay Foreman has 15-plus carries on Sunday, I would say right now I like their chances better. Because that tells you that that he's probably finding some success – and that they have kind of gone the way of, let's see if one guy can get into a rhythm.
Matt on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Should the Titans, by some miracle, go on to win the Super Bowl? Do all these players that came and went, like Adrian Peterson, get a Super Bowl ring?
Absolutely.
Hey, buddy.
Why would it? I mean, if you
scored a touchdown.
Yeah. If you contributed to the season, I mean, it would take an incredibly cheap. It'd be like the owner of the Cleveland Indians in Major League, who would not give you a ring.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this brings back my favorite song. Dan, 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 dan.
Yes.
You take the items of clothing off. But anyway. Yes, they absolutely get rings. Of course they do.
It's going to be, if the Titans win the Super Bowl, the most expensive Super Bowl rings in the history of sports. Or not even Super Bowl rings, just championship rings in the history of sports.
Yeah.
There you go.
What is the
We've
bill?
We've got 198 championship rings to give out. Because remember, like, you know, front office people will get
them. Yeah.
You could end up with like 200-plus championship rings, man.
I wonder what the record is. I'd love to know what the record is.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure some owners probably give, like, maybe give them to more people than other owners.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what the cutoff is. But I would think that anybody who works for the organization gets one, right?
I would think so.
Well, get ready, Amy Adams Strunk. I'm sure she gladly would take the hit to the pocketbook for that.
Probably so. Liam on the text line. That had to be an awkward conversation for J-Rob to cut a future Hall of Famer. Do you think that possibly means potential good news about Derek? Even though AD wasn't impressive so far, you think they might give him more time to get comfortable and get ready for a playoff push? This coming from Liam on the text line.
No. This has nothing to do with Derek Henry.
No.
So, I mean, you can put that out of your mind. They're trying to figure something out right now. If it meant something about Derrick Henry, they wouldn't have gone and got like Rodney Smith. I mean, basically they feel like Dontrell Hilliard is better than Adrian Peterson. That's how I read it.
Yeah,
they know McNichols is a third down back they can count on, and Hilliard showed them more last game than Peterson showed them in three games. And yeah, I'm sure the conversation is. I'm sure those conversations are often not enjoyable for Robinson / Vrabel. I don't know that it's always Robinson, but it's the NFL.
Adrian Peterson.
He's done okay. He'll be okay.
They're going to be like in the Titans Ring of Honor or like all – like where do Randy Moss and where do these guys fit in? Like Randy Moss, what do you have, like a catch here with the Titans? Adrian Peterson at least had a touchdown.
I mean, Andre Johnson had a game-winning touchdown in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be just some sort of just one part of the Ring of Honor for, like, the short-timers.
The all-time list of short-timers here of great players, it's getting to be pretty impressive.
It is pretty good. Anybody worth forgetting?
Probably. I just can't think of
anybody on defense who, like, was at the end, but they were great somewhere else? I can't think of anybody.
No. Those three are pretty strong. Adrian Peterson, Randy Moss, Andre Johnson. Come on with it.
How are you going to stop that trio?
I mean,
in 2008, how are you going to stop that trio?
Depending on what happens the rest of this year and I guess into next year, Julio Jones may be on that list too. We'll see.
Well, that's true. by the way, who knows where it's going to go for here for Jadeveon Clowney?
That's true.
He counts too.
Yeah, could really get in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're off and running here today, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The deal this week is buy one, get one range passes at the Nashville Armory, a value of $50 for only $25. Nashville Armory is Tennessee's premier shooting facility. Whether seeking basic to advanced firearms training or shooting full auto machine guns in their 50 caliber rated range, buy, train, and shoot at Nashville Armory. Nashville Armory located at 4290 Kennewood Drive in Nashville. The website is armyranges.com. So go to get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, Caroline Rex Road here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
Oh, now I get it. That was a Billie Eilish song. Was that was a song about The Office?
Yeah, it's called My Strange Addiction.
There you go.
What episode is it about?
It's about what is it called? It's like my favorite episode where Michael makes the movie and then they watch it.
Oh, Threat Level Midnight. You're an Office fan, yeah? Yeah. That's cool that she had a song about The Office, but also it's still Billie Eilish. Like,
You're just hating on the generation, Jim.
I know.
Not great.
Thank you, Robbie.
Not great.
Robbie's an old soul.
Now Caroline's my younger teammate over here.
You're Gen XYZ, whatever that is.
Gen Z, and she's Gen Alpha. Remember I told you that? She's Gen Alpha.
Is that a real thing?
Gen Alpha. What is that? So we're just starting back over? We're starting back over at the top of the alphabet?
I guess so.
Man.
I was unaware that was a thing.
Yeah, okay. It's like playing Atari football, and you can like actually, if you miss something, you can just go backward through the screen.
Yeah, just go get him.
Tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can like go, yeah. That's what we're
if
doing.
If only you could do that in real life.
Yes, that's right.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I know we stunk it up on Sunday, but NFL.com has the power rankings, has the Titans below the Bills. I know rankings don't matter, but yikes. The rankings do matter.
Dude, I've never heard power rankings talked about more than this. Is it because we've gone to 17 games somehow?
It could be.
Like, the whole league has just gone nuts.
Oh, man.
Power rankings. Power rankings, the NFL. The great thing about the NFL is they have playoffs.
They do.
They have standings. They have records. And then you win or lose games and you go win a championship.
Although we'll say my power rankings usually always the best.
Well,
usually always really good.
Yes, absolutely. I'm actually interested to see. I'm going to see if we have our power rankings at the Athletic. I turned mine in. I think I had the Titans. Where'd you put the Titans? Six?
Six.
I think I still had them fifth, if I'm not mistaken. Here we go. NFL Power Rankings, Week 12. Let's see where the Titans land in the Athletic Power Rankings. They are, they're six, so from two to six.
That's right.
Do they have the Bills ahead of them?
Probably not.
They do not. The Bills, boy, where the heck? Oh, my, wait a second. The Bills are 11th.
I think they were 11 or 12 in mine.
Is that right?
I don't think the Bills are very good. I'll just be honest with you. I don't think they're very good.
It's so hard. I don't know, man. I still think they could. Well,
I'm not saying that like they can't. I mean, beat you on a given day, but like this, I don't buy the idea that all of a sudden the Bills are just going to turn it on. Like they can't run the ball. That's a big problem.
Yeah, their defense though should be better than this, but we'll see. There's about nine teams in the AFC.
Yeah,
LA. Yeah. So let's be real.
Gonna really look forward to the Denver Broncos representing the AFC in the Super Bowl this year. It's gonna be fun.
Wow. Mind blown on that one. That one I feel good about not happening.
Ron texting in, don't forget about Kevin Mawai, going back to the Titans Legends conversation. But Kevin Wye was actually good here.
Yeah, he actually had a
He does not qualify for this discussion.
Yeah, we're talking about people who are all time great players who had a cup of coffee here.
Yeah.
Kevin Wye is not that. He's a really good player here too.
William from Madison texting in, the Titans quickly have become the White Sox of the NFL. And since a list of players that ended their career with the Chicago White Sox that you, I guess you didn't know about, including George Foster in 86,
ooh,
Jose Canseco, Ken Griffey Jr. in 08.
That's right.
Manny Ramirez in 2010, Andrew Jones 2010 as well, Jimmy Rollins 2016, Justin Morneau 2016. Look, maybe the Titans are the Chicago White Sox. That's an impressive list.
That's an interesting point. God, I hate the White Sox. That's an interesting point.
Wow. I didn't know that Ken Griffey Jr. was ever on the White Sox.
I'd forgotten about that, but yeah, that was a cup of coffee, as I recall. Yeah. I mean, gosh, just a couple years before that, he was still pretty darn good with the Reds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. The Titans are the White Sox of the NFL. Okay.
I got a texture that says, any chance the Titans go after Philip Lindsay? I heard someone talk about that yesterday and wondered what your thoughts are on him. He's on the Texans, isn't he?
Well, they did.
They release him?
I think they released him, yeah.
Well, he did have you and I had more rushing yards than Philip Lindsay on Sunday, so maybe that had something to do with it.
I think, what, he have two carries for like
minus three.
Yeah, or something. I mean, honestly, it's worth a thought.
Yeah.
I don't know what's, you know, really gone on with him. He was pretty darn good in a heck of a story, you know, in Denver, and it just obviously hasn't worked out. So, yeah, he's been waived. I haven't heard about him being picked up on waivers, so as free agent.
He's only 27.
Again, he had a really good sort of brief run, I think undrafted, right? I believe he's an undrafted guy out of Colorado, good player at Colorado, but that's also the life of a running back. Yeah, I mean, gosh, 18 and 19 both years. He had 1,000 yards. And then last year just, you know, got cut in half, and now this year very ineffective there. I mean, hey, I wouldn't rule out most names at this point. So, but I think if you're the Titans, you also have to kind of, I mean, you got to build something with some people in the building over time, over a few weeks, and try to get, you know, like, hey, how about this? How about this? I mean, you have to go do that with Golden Tate when you get to the point they are at receiver. But I would think that the running back room is going to be what it is now, this week, going to New England.
Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. Robbie just created a monster with the Bills. You said you were ready to ride off the Chiefs, and now all of a sudden they're playing good football again. Watch out for the Bills to bounce back big. You're welcome, Titans fans.
Bills-Chiefs, AFC title
game. Bills-Chiefs, AFC title game. Thanks to yours truly.
You did shovel a little dirt on the Chiefs.
I gave a funeral speech to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I'm still not convinced their offense is fixed yet at this point. But their defense looks a lot better. I'll give them credit.
No, they're still, I mean, it's not like they did light up the Raiders, but that's the one game in the past, really.
One game really all season.
Well, early they go to Baltimore and score 35. They still don't look totally fixed, but they, I have a feeling, are going to be there.
I have a feeling they are too. Is that my fault?
Maybe. Who else would you like to? Maybe Titans fans would like you to say that they're going to lose out right now. Maybe that would help.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. I got a text that says, I bet Adrian Peterson wishes he would have done Dancing with the Stars. Apparently he did turn down Dancing with the Stars to keep his dream of finishing his career in the NFL alive. I do wonder, maybe Dancing with the Stars in the not-so-distant future for Adrian Peterson. I'm interested to see if he gets picked up again. I kind of think he might be done.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's done. I'm trying to think. Did he get to 15K?
Oof. I don't think so. Let me go look.
So, I mean, because that to me, I mean, if you can
no, get. No, he's at 14,902.
Yeah, okay. So he got to 14,9 here with his 27 carries for
82 yards. And a touchdown.
Got him to 14,902. He's 98 yards away from 15,000.
I mean, that might take him five or six games based on.
Well, right. And who knows if he'll get those games. I mean, it's...
Let's go sign with the Lions.
That already happened. And even the Lions moved on from
That's
him. True. So, I'm guessing he's done. It's not like he looked terrible or anything. I mean, again, even last game, he had a couple real nice runs. Probably done. Dancing with the Stars, that'll be there for him. He'll probably, hold out. Who knows who might be desperate this year still. And I would look for Adrian Peterson 2022 season on Dancing with the Stars.
I would look for that as well. When we come back, it is time for the best and worst thing in sports, typically on Thursdays. Obviously, Thanksgiving tomorrow, so we've moved it to today on Wednesdays. Best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is time for the best and worst thing in sports. We'll take your submission on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, Caroline Rexroad in the house, Michelle Knezvik, I am Robbie Stanley. Joe, would you like to kick us off as you do every single week with your best and worst things in sports?
I will. It revolves around the same person.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of times Michelle and I have like one of the two the same. We might be again today. But best thing in sports, I think it's a pretty easy call. Dick Vitale back on the mic last night for UCLA Gonzaga.
Yep.
He got emotional early in the broadcast, and that was pretty cool to see. He didn't have a great game to call, but he called a great game. For anybody who doesn't know, look, I mean, everybody knows Dick Vitale, right? But for anybody who doesn't know, I mean, this guy has gone so far above and beyond fighting cancer. Now he's fighting it himself. He has cancer. He's going through chemo. His doctors allowed him to go call this game. I don't know how much, more. I'm sure he'll be able to do some games. It's limited. He's in his 80s, and he's still rocking and rolling like this. The guy has done so much for the game of college basketball. And on a personal note, and Michelle has met him too, and you go through the years of people in the college basketball world. He's one of those people who doesn't think he's bigger than anybody else and has time for people. He's helped me a ton since I was a student at Michigan State, and a lot of people can say the same thing about him. And again, if you look into what he's done to raise money to fight cancer, it's way above and beyond, and it's a passion. It's a life passion. And so him being on the microphone last night was the best thing. My worst thing, and I've gotten into this with Vol Twitter before, actually. I think it was last season. So, Russell Smith in Knoxville, he's got a show on Fox Sports Knoxville. I go on his show sometimes. He was among many folks in the Vol Twitter universe who were just annihilating Vitale for like his call on one of their games, and just nasty stuff. So I got into it with a lot of them, like, basically shut up. I mean, look, Dick Vitale, I would say that he was probably stronger as a broadcaster a few years ago. I would put him up with anyone in terms of knowledge of the teams and players over decades, along with, but some people just can only focus on like the antics and the, which is, to me, is just fun. It may not be your cup of tea, but the disrespect for Dick Vitale. See, I just said his name wrong, so it's like Nick Westbrook-Akini, as people still say. The disrespect bothers the heck out of me, and it came back last night. I still have some people in my mentions like, I can't stand him, and it drives me crazy. So that's my worst thing, people who don't love Dick Vitale.
There you go. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in sports.
Okay, so that my best thing was correct, Joe, the Dickie V back on the mic last night. And I looked at Caroline and I said, he's going to say that Dickie V called the game last night. That's his best thing. So I'm going to change mine really quick. My best thing in sports, a Michigan running back has used his name, image, and likeness money to buy Thanksgiving meals for people. It's just amazing. I love when you see people giving back during Thanksgiving. I mean, we all know how amazing the holiday. We've even been hyping up Thanksgiving, how amazing it is to spend it with your family in a big old feast. And I just think it's great when people who are more fortunate, help out others during the holiday season, especially. My worst in sports. Now, this got me pretty heated on Monday. Okay. So women's basketball, we had UConn and South Carolina, 1-2. biggest game, right? Amazing game. You got Paige Beckers, like so many potential WNBA players, right? ESPN, I get it. They were in Atlantis. They were in the Bahamas. This game was slated for noon on a Monday. What gets me super heated is that they talk about women's sports not having the audience and things like that, but how do you expect them to have an audience when you're broadcasting probably the game of the month before, I mean, the game of arguably the year up until you get to tournament time on noon on a Monday? So that just really frustrates me because I feel like they're not given the opportunity because they're being broadcasted at times like that. And I know this doesn't happen regularly, noon games and things like that, but I think they could have done a better job because this game should have gotten, you know, at least like a 4 or 5 or something like that to bring in a bigger audience and just raise awareness around women's basketball.
I'm with you. South Carolina looked awfully good, by the way.
I know. That was, yeah, they were really good. Camilla Cardoza, she played for Syracuse last year. She's 6'7", and her wingspan is like 7 foot. Stood next to her, I was like, whoa, girlfriend, you are tall.
Very tall. Caroline Retro, do you have a best or worst thing in sports? Uh-oh, here we go.
This could.
I have a worst thing.
Okay.
I don't really have a best thing.
I like it.
You don't have a best thing? You only have a worst?
Yeah.
It's my negative parenting.
On Saturday, November 20th, Michigan State lost to Ohio State, 56-7.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That was a really sad game.
Yeah, that was. I think that certainly qualifies as worst thing in sports. I'm sure that was a fun time in the Rex Road household while that beatdown was taking place.
Yeah. Well, again, especially with the Ohio State grad uncle in the house.
Oh God.
Connor did a nice job of, you know, not taunting though.
56-7.
56-7. Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a toughie.
I have a best thing now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So my
this
best
show?
Thing, yeah, yep, coming here today.
There you go.
Oh yeah, nice. There we go. That's well done. Well done, Caroline Rexroad.
Nice
here
job.
On the program. My best thing in sports, we've yet to see it, but boy, are we going to see it tomorrow. I am legitimately excited to watch it. Detroit Lions Thanksgiving football. And not only Detroit Lions Thanksgiving football, they're going to win tomorrow. I am sticking to my guns. The Lions are going to win against the Chicago Bears. You can take it to the bank. It's happening tomorrow, and I'm here for it. I'm really excited to see it, and quite frankly, I have mixed feelings about it because I really enjoy Matt Nagy being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. But when he loses to the Lions, that's it. He'll be done.
Yeah. You would think that like, you can't lose. I mean, I think it's a matter of time. But if you lose this game, is it one of those tarmac things? Like,
could
you
be.
Don't get on the flight back to Chicago?
Yeah, it very well could be.
They might get him.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful tradition. And anybody trying to take one of this tradition, real quick, I'm going to interject real quick.
Okay.
I mentioned my awful 1982 memory of Lawrence Taylor, the pick six.
Yeah.
The next year, 1983, Lions 45, Steelers 3.
Oh, boy.
It was a wonderful.
Beat down.
Totally made up. Fifth grade Thanksgiving, totally made up for fourth grade Thanksgiving.
Did you look at me for a reason with that
I
one,
did.
Joe?
I'm staring you down. That's
42
right.
Point win.
Decades before you were born. Yes,
restore the roar. Come on.
Yeah, I definitely was not born, so I don't remember that one.
I wasn't even born then, so it was good stuff. My worst thing in sports, and I've watched this week with great joy in my heart because, number one, I think it's funny, and number two, it just kind of shows where the NBA is right now. Look, I think the NBA is a great product. I enjoy watching the NBA. I think the basketball, everybody talks about the 90s being great. The 90s were great. I have no problem with 90s NBA basketball. The product's, I think, better now. Like this, there's a lot of skill out there. So I encourage you to watch it. The LeBron James, Isaiah Stewart thing to me is hilarious because this seemingly, and this is where I think people come back to when they start talking about 80s and 90s basketball, like these sort of, I don't even know what you'd want to call it, disagreement pile in the middle of the court. These happened on a fairly regular basis back in the 80s and 90s in the NBA. And the fact that LeBron James is like elbowing someone in the head, starting this whole thing, and then when the actual fracas gets going, he's just backing away and the officials are like hugging LeBron James to make sure that nobody touches LeBron James. It's hilarious to me that this is taking on a life of its own. LeBron starts the whole thing. Gets suspended for one game. Isaiah Stewart suspended for two. It's just very funny to me.
NBA
just coddling LeBron James right in front of our very eyes. It's good
well,
stuff.
And I heard people, and I can't speak to this, I didn't really see it, but apparently like ESPN wasn't showing replays. That's what I saw on Twitter. ESPN not showing any replays of the elbow. They're trying to protect LeBron. They don't want anybody to think LeBron did something bad. I saw one angle of it. I mean, like, I'm sure he didn't mean to, you know, to make him bleed profusely from his head, but it was
hard.
A dirty play.
Yeah.
It's a dirty play by LeBron. And, of course, does bring to mind something that happened 17 years ago on the same floor, which that was well beyond, you know, what you almost normally see. But you're right. These scrums with guys, that used to be nightly.
Russell Westbrook runs to the middle. And basically doesn't do anything. He's just, like, getting in there, I guess, talking, and he ends up with a technical foul. And he didn't know it until he got to the post-game press conference. He's like, how did I get a technical? It's good stuff.
Oh, man.
Love it.
Nice.
This has been the best and worst thing in sports. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.